Good morning. Anyon Hasil. Jambo. Thank you. Welcome to our church, especially if you're visiting for the first time. We hope you enjoy this service. At 11:30, we have our all-aged worship, and at 6:30 this evening, a reflective service. As autumn approaches, we have many events to look forward to, not least our AGM, which will start at the 11 o'clock service next Sunday. Then the next Sunday is the Grand Music Fest concert, which will be held here in the church, Sunday the 21st of September at 4 o'clock. There will be more than 20 church members and friends taking part. They will be playing a wide range of instruments, and there will be music to suit all tastes, from Handel and Vivaldi to Noel Coward and Flanders and Swann. Oh, Beyonce? Is Beyonce in? No? No. This is the first major music event we have staged for many years and promises to be truly memorable. Please do come along and invite your friends. A top quality grand piano is being hired for the occasion, and we hope to purchase this afterwards to enrich our worship and allow us to hold similar concerts and recitals in the future. John says, I'm pleased to tell you that members have already generously pledged £9,000 of the £12,000 required to buy the piano. If you'd like to help us to reach our target and enable us to avoid paying the piano hire charge, please speak to Ruth Anderson afterwards. Where are you, Ruth? Hand up. Thank you. And pick up a pledge form from the back of the church. Pastoral news. Stuart Chandler's dad is currently not very well, and Stuart is helping in his care. Our minister also currently isn't particularly well, so our thoughts and prayers are with you both. And Sue Shaw is having an open house this afternoon between 2 and 8 o'clock. And she will be raising money for Kingston Church's action on homelessness. And finally, the next knitting is on the 17th of September. Thank you.
The opening lines of the Rule of St. Benedict are these. Listen carefully with the ear of your heart. Listen carefully with the ear of your heart. So may God grant us the stillness to give attention to God. And may God grant to us the generosity to give attention to our neighbours. Listen carefully with the ear of your heart. We join to sing, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Thank you.
Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all the ways your Son draws us together in community. God of ones and twos, of communities and nations, you hear us when we call out in anguish. You hear us when we sing out in joy. You hear us when we cry silently in our hearts. You hear us when we entrust our secrets to you. You hear us before we even form our thoughts. We praise you, our living God, for your love and commitment to us. We ask that you would forgive us for those times when we have been stubborn in our refusal to hear the counsel of others. When we haven't given people due time to work through their grievances. And for the times when we have wanted to oust those that we do not agree with. We ask that you would forgive us for those times when we have been less than sensitive in the way that we have presented our dissent. Forgive us, loving, living God, and bless us with your grace, your generosity, and your openness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our trespasses. When I was doing my bit of work I did years ago on bullying of ministers in the United Reformed Church by members of their congregations, one of the things that somebody said was that what we need to do is we need to stop being nice and start being loving. Stop being nice and start being loving. And the piece of scripture that we're going to be working on today is exactly about that. Being loving, taking us beyond being nice. And just before you all think to yourself, I don't know what she's talking about. Imagine that you're in conversation with somebody and they've got a bit of spinach on their teeth. Right? They've got a bit of spinach on their teeth. Nice. What does nice do? Nice keeps your eyes on their eyes. Yeah, and you don't say anything, you just keep. But what does loving do? Loving says, look, I know this is really embarrassing, but I've got to tell you, you've got a bit of spinach on your teeth. Okay? So, in our relationship with one another, nice would ignore the fact that somebody is being incredibly rude to other people. But loving would say, actually, I think that's not acceptable. Nice would ignore the fact that somebody who declares that they're a Christian behaves in a certain way. But loving Loving would actually challenge it. And that's not to say that's easy, but it is to say that Christianity and niceness are not the same. Sulhi agrees with me. Good. Thank you, Sulhi. Excellent. Well, it's you and me. We'll join together to sing Seek You First. All right, somebody else at the back. Marvellous. Three of us. Top. Let's go. Seek You First. Peter recognized Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus understood that my Father was creating my church. In today's gospel reading, we have the only other occurrence of that word, ecclesia, in the gospels. So in terms of church and what church means, the passage that you are about to hear is one of the most important that there is. And Barbara Fielding has the onerous task of reading this scripture to us.
It's from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 to 20, headed A Brother or Sister Who Sins. If your brother sins against you, go to him and show him his fault but do it privately, just between yourselves. If he listens to you, you have won your brother back. But if he will not listen to you, take one or two other persons with you, so that every accusation may be upheld by the testimony of two or more witnesses, as the scripture says. And if he will not listen to them, then tell the whole thing to the church. Finally, if he will not listen to the church, treat him as though he were a pagan or a tax collector, prohibiting and permitting. And so I tell all of you, what you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. And I tell you more, whenever two of you on earth agree about anything, you pray for it, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, I am there with them. Amen.
Let us join to pray. Loving Lord Jesus, as we reflect on this scripture, may the only voice that we hear be yours. In your name we pray. Amen. Power is a strange thing in churches. I would say that relationship power is the only power that there is. I don't believe in the power of, you know, I've heard ministers say, oh, I'm the minister, yada yada. Nonsense. You only have relationship power. That's the only power that we have. And as time, in the times that we live in, where institutions are so poorly thought of, among those who are thought of as the most rubbish of the whole lot, the church is pretty high there on that rubbish list. So institutional power is waning on all things, and church institutional power even more so. And I would say to you, this is great news, because the position of the church is not to be the first at the table, the place of the powerful. Our job is to be the friend of the powerful, whispering in their ear like the court jester who says the truth and knows that as they open their mouth, they take their life in their hands to say that which they believe to be true. But this passage is about individual, personal power. Now, many people would say, I don't have any individual personal power. And I want to say to you, believing that is a dark path on a dark road to a dark place. And before you debate it with me, the example that I would use is of the person who is of the most disabled among us. So the person who is in full-time residential care in their nursing home, and I would say that that person has power in terms of the way that they behave to the staff, those who look after them. They have power to build somebody up. The power that they have, or the visit people that come to visit them, they may look like they are powerless, but they do have some power. And so the question is, how are they going to use it? Now, in the scripture that we heard, you have somebody's in sin, and the challenge is that to go and engage with them to get them back onto the straight and narrow. And nobody who heard that scripture would think, yes, that's easy peasy, we could all do that. That is an incredibly difficult and challenging thing to do. But I want to... Yes, we know that. It's difficult. Yeah, it certainly is. But can we look at the opposite? Some people would say, well, the opposite is obvious. If I shout at you, if I point my finger in your chest and have a right good rammy stammy at you, that's obviously the opposite of that scripture. And I want to say, no, it's not. No, it's not. I want to say to you that the opposite is two things that we do very regularly in churches. Might do others, but I'll just give you two. The first one that we do very regularly in churches, we disagree with somebody and we slag them off behind their back. That's what we do. We don't have the courage to look them in the eye. We don't have the courage to, you know, say, look, I need to have a wee chat with you. Let's just make an appointment and let's look you in the eye and say, look, I don't agree with this. We bitch about people behind their back. That's what we do. That's one thing we do. And the other thing that we do is we withdraw. We withdraw. We withdraw ourselves emotionally, we withdraw our skills, we withdraw our money, we withdraw. And that, my friends, is an example of passive-aggressive behaviour. It's aggressive behaviour. And the problem with it is that it looks, on the surface, all very nice. I don't argue with you, I'm not rude to you, I'm not slagging you off. Anybody who saw me would just think I'm being fine and dandy, but actually, I'm being incredibly aggressive. The danger in churches is that if somebody puts their hand up and says, look, that behaviour, it's wrong. It's wrong. And they do it badly, they don't shape what they're saying, they don't affirm, they don't build somebody up, they just open their mouth. The danger is that that is the sort of person that we, as a church, we pick them up and we spit them out. But all that stuff about withdrawing, we never confront people, we never say to them, your behaviour isn't acceptable. Your withdrawal from us is not acceptable. We never challenge that. We just let that go. And the teaching from the scriptures is clear that that passive-aggressive behaviour is clearly not what is acceptable. And if you want to follow the way of Jesus, then you have a conversation with people. You look them in the eye. And yeah, you might well cock it up in terms of the way that you speak. But surely, that is more in keeping with that teaching from Jesus. So when we come to this table, we come with the sin that everybody knows. The sin that people have heard us shouting and misbehaving, and people know. But let's be clear, we also come with the sin that nobody else knows, except for the Lord Jesus. And although my life and your life might look all shiny and wholesome, he knows. He knows. And none of us has earned our place at this table. And all of us come as beggars needing his food. Let us be still. So we have three requests for prayer. So we pray. We are asked to pray for Neil and Petra, who are getting married next Saturday. We're asked to pray for Alan, who is going for a biopsy and an MRI scan and then having facial surgery for a facial tumour. And Stuart has asked us to pray for his father, who is in hospital. Lord, we pray. Let's pray for those who are living in places where brothers and sisters are not reconciled, where violence speaks out and the voice of peace is not heard. For families who cannot listen to one another's pain, where bitterness speaks out. Where the voice of understanding isn't heard. Let's pray for those situations where Christians cannot come to a place of acceptance of their differences. The voice of generosity is not heard. Where a miserly spirit has dominated, and where people have withdrawn from one another. Let us pray for one another. Give us the ability to speak the voice of truth and to listen with the ears of humility. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And as a symbol of that, your tokens in your gifts of money will now be received. brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Out of the fullness of your gifts, O God, we bring you this money, this bread and this wine, our gifts and our lives. Blessed be your holy name forever. Amen. We join to sing, "Let Us Break Bread Together in the Lord," which you'll find at 452. Of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by St. Paul. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.' We believe that this is the Lord's table. We believe that none of us has the right to be here, but that all of us are guests. Let us pray. Thank you, our loving God, for being such a God that we can argue with you and come with our complaints and our grievances. Thank you for not demanding that we should be perfect before you will love us. Thank you for accepting us when we come to you in our ignorance and our fear with the great longings that you have planted in us. But thank you too for being such a God that when we come to you, we cannot get away with self-pity or with shallow judgments about life and other people. Thank you for being a constant challenge to our courage, our integrity, and our intelligence, and for giving us what it takes to follow where Christ leads, through suffering and death, to resurrection and eternal life, where we will grasp the depths of love, discover joy at the heart of sorrow, and praise your name forever. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit through these gifts of bread and wine, reminding us of our emptiness, reminding us of your overflowing bounty. Blessing and honor be to you, our God, for now, forever. Amen. He took bread, a symbol of his life that would be given, his body that would be broken, and he said, "This is my body. It is broken for you." He took the cup. "This is my blood," he said. "It is shed for you." We believe that all are welcome at this table. When the elders offer you the bread, if you would wish to eat and drink with us, then take it and eat it. When the elders offer you the wine, hold it, for we will all drink together. There's no alcohol in this wine for those of us who have issues with that. These are the gifts of God for all God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. blood of Christ. God of law and love, wake us up from the sleep of apathy, from the drowsiness of giving up and not caring anymore. Show us through your holy law and your holy love that we really can grow in love and in goodness towards you and our neighbours. Wake us from the sleep of giving in to weakness and for just settling for present failings. Rouse us with confidence in your grace to redeem us and save us. Do not let us settle for darkness or twilight, but give us strength and courage to step from the shadows. Then lead us into your light, that we may love you and love our neighbours with all our heart and mind and strength. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing Christ is Alive, which you'll find at number 260. Let us learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone him, each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. Amen.